This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are Rachel Winder, Virginia Henry, and Dale Spalding. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts.
Welcome to The Spot, where we're talking about what you're talking about. My name is Rachel Winder.
I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Dale Spalding.
So today we're going to talk about 4th of July, which is coming up. Very exciting. The historical context of the 4th of July, we actually are celebrating, contrary to popular belief, we're celebrating the adaptation of the Declaration of Independence, not the signing of the Declaration.
Oh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Interesting.
Yeah, come on, Dale. Didn't you know that it was actually
No, I thought it was all about, like, the last bullet fired and, like, yeah, we won the war.
Independence was declared on July 2nd of 1776, not July 4th.
Oh.
But the Declaration wasn't, I don't know, officialized, you know, notarized, whatever, until the 4th of July.
Interesting. I forgot that from the history books.
And not everyone signed the Not everyone signed the Declaration of
It's okay. Take your time.
Not everyone signed the Declaration of Independence until later. The 4th of July, only a few people signed. There are conflicting facts that I found. Some say only one signed on the 4th of July, and some say only two. So you guys can tell me which one it is.
Well, all I know is like the old like folk tale that like John Hancock, or whoever it was, signed his name super big and was like, I want that old king to be able to see my name in plain black ink because I'm sick of this crap.
And it is kind of scary to be like, hey, the ruler of my country, like, I am going to rebel against you. So, yeah, I would, like, sign like a doctor where, like, my signature is barely recognizable. John Hancock's like, let me get my calligraphy pen out and let me make it glitter. So that's pretty cool.
Sure. And so, like, what kind of brought this on? Like, as far as historical context, it's important to, like, understand. And this might be a little bit of a tangent, I guess, but like if you're not paying attention to history, sometimes you repeat it.
Right.
It's like this, even in your own house. Like if you're the type of kid that goes into your house when your mom is cooking and you smell good food and you reach up to the countertop and you're not tall enough to see what's on the countertop, but you put your hand down on the stove and you burn yourself and you're like, ow, that hurts.
Right.
If you don't learn from your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So when you turn around and burn your hand again, you can't blame anyone but yourself.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that John Adams really thought that it was going to be declared a national holiday and it was going to be celebrated forever, except he thought it was going to be the 2nd, not the 4th.
Yep, that's right.
But it wasn't officially declared a national holiday until 1870. So almost 100 years after our independence. It was then recognized as we're all going to party together.
That's so funny that we took so long to party hard.
Yeah.
It's totally not American.
It's totally.
Where are the parties for the past 200 years?
And it also wasn't a paid holiday until like 1938, which, again, was like, because Congress made it an unpaid holiday. Like you had to work on that holiday.
Yeah, that's right.
Congress made it an unpaid holiday, and then they changed it in 1938.
Smart, smart, smart group of people.
That. Very
thank
smart.
You. Thank you, guys.
You made a lot of people very, very happy.
Yeah.
So why don't we jump into the next topic?
Wait, I have something cool.
Oh, go.
So, I like Virginia.
So excited.
There's no contrary. Did you know that Thomas Jefferson and John Adams both died on the 4th of July? Oh, yeah.
I remember hearing about that, but having it brought up makes it kind of eerily spooky. Gosh. Especially because those guys were like the signers.
Yeah. Like huge, right? Mm. And presidents of the United States.
Right.
You know, second and third, right? Second and third?
I think so.
Second and third presidents of the United States. So it's like, yeah, they're kind of important. And they passed away on like their day, right? The 4th of July.
The day they're known for.
Yeah.
That's a good way to go out.
I want to die on my birthday now.
Exactly 90 years old. Unless you want to be 100.
Yes.
Then you can do that.
Man, kay. that's a really cool fact.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Any other cool things?
Nope, I'm out.
You're flush out. Okay. You're done. All right. So now we can jump into some of the traditions. And to start this one, I want to ask you guys, when you think of like 4th of July traditions, what are some of the ones that come to your mind first?
Fireworks is heavy on my mind when it comes to 4th of July.
Okay. Yeah, for me, definitely fireworks, for sure. But also water. So, like, always fireworks by a body of water. Mm. Like, it had to be by a body of water. There was always, like, swimming and music. There was always lots of patriotic music where I'm from, usually country. And, like, all those, you know, Toby Keith songs and stuff playing during the fireworks. And, yeah,
barbecue.
Food.
Yep,
food.
Barbecue on 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Burgers. Because there's nothing more American than a hamburger with bacon and American Swiss cheese.
Hot dogs, too.
American cheese.
American Swiss cheese.
Yeah, it's two different countries there, excuse me.
Are we missing any traditions?
No, I mean, there's a lot of people can... I mean, it's different for every family, right? So we can't really name them all. I know that my family would like to go see, like, a movie that day, but we'd also do the swimming thing. We'd go on to the lake and go swimming and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But historically speaking, back when, you know, 4th of July wasn't quite a thing yet, they would still commemorate it. It wasn't a holiday, but they would commemorate it. And get this. Before the Revolution, they would commemorate a special patriotic day in memory of King George III. Now, on that day, they would have music, they'd have parades, they'd have speeches in memory of their king.
Mm-hmm. Here in America.
Here in America.
Gee.
That didn't work out so well. By the end of it, in 1776, there were mock funerals held for King George.
Wow.
And that was symbolizing the end of the monarchy's hold on America.
Whoa.
So it was really a very powerful, motivating rally call.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was really cool to include. I'm pulling this from history.com as well. So if you want to look up the facts,
great,
you can see them there unfiltered by my face and mouth. So get this. We just talked about a few of the ideas. We go swimming. We go to waterfront. We hear patriotic music. And there's parades, too.
Yep.
We talk parades.
Yes, we have parades.
So their festivities from that point on, they would remember this day, commemorate it. They would include concerts, parades, bonfires.
Oh, yes, that's very American.
Mm-hmm.
Marshmallows.
Obviously American.
S'mores.
They would fire cannons and muskets.
Right.
Yeah, let's still do
like
that.
That's,
let's still do that.
I feel like that's a super deep one because it's like that's the kind of stuff that would happen all the time during the war.
Right.
You would hear that on the countryside, and you would wonder, like, if I was in their situation, I'd be sitting in my little country home, hearing the gunfire and cannon fire outside, wondering if my home was going to be still standing within the next few hours.
Wow, yeah.
But that kind of thing for them was such a huge reminder of what they had to go through, and I think that's really cool that they continue to do that. And this is probably the deepest one of all. They would read the Declaration. They would read the entire Declaration.
I like that.
The night of.
We should do that. Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now
I feel like it's become so commercialized, you know?
Right.
It's red, white.
The 4th of July specifically?
Yeah.
Okay.
4th of July specifically has become super commercialized. And I feel like a lot of, I mean, yeah, there's lots of red, white, and blue and American pride. But I also feel like we forget, like we're talking about, like the historical context to it. Like, okay, like, people died, and, like, think about the courage it took to stand up to a monarch and, like, the empire that the sun never sets on,
yeah,
you know,
it wasn't
that
just
type
a monarch.
Of a deal. Like, think about that, and then I love that they used to read the Declaration. Like, I don't even know how many kids even know the preamble anymore. I mean, when I was in elementary school, we had to memorize it.
I can tell you that I don't remember it.
We the People. That's what I remember. Right? The very
We the People of the United States in order to form a more perfect union. Stop.
That's what I remember. The pursuit of happiness and life and liberty. And see, isn't that terrible? Like, we should know this. Like, right. We should make that a tradition.
And how some people have the tradition of reading one of the Gospels right before Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
We can do the same thing. We can still implement the Declaration of Independence.
In our families.
In our traditions in our family.
Sure. I think that's a good point. I think that so here's an honest little confessional, okay? When it comes to, like, remembering this stuff, that is essential.
Right.
I really, truly believe that.
It's like what you said in the beginning. Like, mm-hmm. if we don't remember our history, we're bound to repeat
exactly. it. Exactly. But there comes a point where remembering your history creates dogma, which is you do something just because someone else is doing it. You do it because that's what you do. It's
right.
just this mental state.
Mm-hmm.
So at what point do we continue to respect the heritage that we have as Americans? At what point does that change into dogma, into propaganda?
This reminds me of a video I watched. It's actually a Mormon message, and it's a general authority talking about how a lot of Native American children need to learn the dances of their ancestors. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how it's worded, but because if they learn, oh, I'm sorry, they need to learn to listen to the music of their of the drum in order to dance. Because if they're dancing without the music, they just feel foolish. They feel they feel disconnected, disassociated. But if they hear the music, then they understand and they can make that connection. So a lot of the traditions that we have, if we don't have the connection, like if we don't understand the meaning of why we're celebrating,
or even the traditions that we have,
currently, yeah, mm-hmm. right, yeah. I mean, because a lot of, I guess some of it has taken us away from what we originally are celebrating.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of holidays have that association as well.
Well, that's the side effect of commercialism, kind of like what Virginia was talking about,
right.
too.
Right, yeah.
But I feel like, and I don't mean to bring that up to be like, oh, anti-America, wow, because that's not what I'm about. I want to bring it up because there is a point to learning from history. And if I really am harping on this, but if we don't learn from it, we'll repeat it.
Right.
Well, and honestly, like it all, there's only so much that the government or schools can do. Like it really all goes back to the family and like educating. I mean, because everyone knows the 4th of July is Independence Day. Well, I hope everyone knows. I mean, some people don't even know the names of all the 50 states, for goodness sake. Bless them. it's all about education. Like it's all about educating the children while they're young and helping them remember, like imprinting in their mind how important this is, then that's going to stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's why we remember Christmas, because it was the biggest holiday of the year, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, ah! But we remember it. And like Rachel said, like in my family, we read like the Christ story before we open our gifts and things like that to remember what we're celebrating, but it takes that repetition. And so if you think like, well, we taught everyone in elementary school that this is for our independence, our national independence, they know it. But if you don't repeat it, then, you know,
what happens is what happens between you and me. We say we the people and that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so you have to continue like feeding them that information and continue to educate them, because if it's just like a habit. If you stop doing it, it's going to die.
Yep. It'll fade from memory.
This kind of reminds me, though, when you were saying how some people, we hope that all people know the 4th of July, we're celebrating our independence of the country. I used to live in Hawaii, and when I was living there, some people, a lot of the natives, don't like celebrating the 4th of July. And part of it was because when they were annexed into our country, it was against the queen of the will of the will of the queen.
The will of the queen, yeah.
Yes, the will of the queen. And the people, a lot of them don't feel American in that way, because they feel like, well, I didn't choose this. Whereas Americans, they chose to be independent from Great Britain. How can people who maybe don't agree with the, I don't know, the how can people still celebrate or still be grateful for what has happened in our country, but don't associate that with
American Revolution, maybe?
Maybe. I'm not sure
or how associate to phrase it, with bad feelings of like control or being forced or coercion or something
okay.
like that.
Well, incorporate good ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, that totally makes sense. I've had, on my mission, I served with a lot of islanders. Las Vegas is kind of known as the Ninth Island. A lot of people move there from Hawaii because it's a lot cheaper than Hawaii and California. And so, and they talked to me about it, and I had no idea. I had no clue that that was a reality. But switch to me, whom, I'm raised in, a military family of several generations, super, true blue, red,
blue
and white, you know? And so, at least for me, I think about, think of the rights that you have. Think how, you've been protected in situations of danger, such as, the world wars or things like that. How, you have rights to live in this way and to be free and to be with your family and to practice your way of life and to keep your traditions from your culture because of the sacrifices that have been made by other Americans. And that's basically the whole, the melting pot type of a thing, that thought that really started the American dream.
Right.
Sometimes we get a little messy with it nowadays, but I think if people thought about it that way, that might help them quell feelings of those upset feelings that you're talking about.
I agree with that. I know that in my family, it's been interesting to see the dichotomy because I come from a family of multiple races. I mean, a lot of families nowadays do that, but there was a point where I really was aware that my family, my dad's side of the family, was super American and Boy Scouts and military as well.
Mm-hmm.
My grandpa served as a CB in the Navy between wars. And my mom's side of the family is African American, and they've grown up in Chicago and in California and in parts of Louisiana. And trying to reconcile the idea of freedom versus the history of slavery it's been a big theme in my life, but I can't really speak out for any one group. All I know is what I've grown up with, and that my mom, who is African American, and my dad, who is white, have said that you are in a nation of freedom. Treat it that way and respect it. And I feel like I've tried to do that as best I can. You know, race is a controversial issue, but it's not one that we should shy away from, particularly the histories, because they did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when they happen, because they happened, people will think that they have grounds to do certain things. They're justified in rebelling. They're justified in those same kind of feelings. Like, we don't really feel a part of this nation when it's built on the backs of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the big argument. But in the end, it really is a decision to, do you want to let that go? Do you want to live in a free country? Yes, it happened. And I do acknowledge that it did. But that those men and women on both sides of the race issue, on all sides of the country, fought and lived and died for the right to live in a way that they wanted to live.
Mm-hmm.
And to live in a country that protected their rights. And so in that way, I really do feel like it's a powerful issue for me. And I feel like I've already harped on it enough. So I'll stop ranting.
maybe part of the freedom that we received from these people that have died for this country is, and this is pretty controversial, so hear me out when I say this.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
Is allowing people to not celebrate the 4th of July or to not to still feel like their rights have been taken away, or to still feel that they, a part of them, or they have loss in their life from what's happened to them. Maybe that's part
to
of it.
To allow them to feel that way?
Yeah, no, I think,
can't really say no.
Well, exactly, because, I mean, that's what it's all about. The right to believe is also the right not to believe. Mm-hmm. The right to practice is also the right not to practice. Mm-hmm. The right to celebrate is also the right not to celebrate. I mean, you can see that everywhere with different religions and different, like, just cultures in the United States and things like that. And so I think it all comes back to really just being kind, you know, being grateful for our freedoms and for the sacrifices that have been made, but then not betraying that heritage by being like, you have to feel the way I feel and you have to think the way I think, you know, because that's betraying what they fought for, which was
that's not what the country's
freedom, free thinking, right? As long as it doesn't infringe upon the rights of others. So as well, the same way they can't tell me, stop being so happy about this. I'd be like, no, like it goes both ways. You know what I mean?
I appreciate
that. I get that. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing both of those comments, too. I think those are really important. Awesome. We're actually running low on time. So to end the episode, let's talk about some local 4th of July events.
Yeah.
And
I know of the day after 4th of July, but they're still celebrating our Independence Day. Mm-hmm. Monkey Rock does a light show, and that's just here.
Monkey Rock?
Yeah.
What's Monkey Rock?
Oh, sorry. Monkey Rock is it's a rock formation. You can jump off of it. I think there's a bridge nearby, but it's a water with rocks. It's really cool.
It's water on the rocks. Cool.
Wait, what were you going to say?
I was looking at some of the other events, and I was thinking, like, Virginia, if you've researched into this, then you can take it away.
I mean, we all know about the huge Melaleuca Freedom Celebration. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's heralded as the biggest fireworks show west of the Mississippi, you know, which I was like, what? Because I've lived.
They actually changed the name.
Really?
They've called it Riverfest.
Okay,
yes,
Riverfest.
That's right.
Well, it shows how much I know. So, I mean, Riverfest, the Freedom Celebration, same deal. Mm-hmm. Huge, huge thing, just terrible traffic.
Yes.
Small secret, I've never been. So I can't personally say that it's amazing because I've never gone. Mm-hmm. But I remember walking the streets of Rexburg a few years ago before my mission, and there was the big parade going on. I know parades are huge out here.
Which parades will be happening basically everywhere in Southeast Idaho.
Yeah. So if you're planning to go somewhere, stay away from like Main Street, Center Streets. Just plan an alternate route.
Right. Perfect. I was also, I don't know if you caught this one, but Whoopi Days here in Rexburg is happening. That's a big like cattle rodeo, open rodeo event. And that's happening the 29th and 30th of June. Okay, so it's kind of early. It's like the pre-celebration. But there's a lot of, like, rodeo super American stuff going on. So I believe it starts at 7 o'clock each night. There's broncos. There's stallions. There's all kinds of different events that are happening. So
where is it?
Out.
It's in Rexburg?
Yeah, it's in the Madison County Fairgrounds.
Huh. Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rexburg Area Chamber of Rexburg Area Chamber of Commerce Independence Day celebration will be in Porter Park, and that's July 4th, I think at 7 p.m. There will be, like, booths and all sorts. Oh, I'm sorry. It'll be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Ooh.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Porter Park. That is the Rexburg Area Chamber of Commerce.
That's
cool
right.
Cool beans. Awesome. Well, we hope you guys enjoy your 4th of July. Remember that it is a very cool holiday. Remember what it's for.
And be respectful. Be respectful, everyone.
Be safe. Like, fire hazard's still a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Stay inside
Idaho's
the law.
Dry.
Like, Idaho's, despite the rain, things can still catch fire.
Yep.
So, please be careful with that. I'm your mother right now.
Yeah, just think before you act.
Please. Remember who you are.
Thanks for listening, guys.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU-Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were Rachel Winder, Virginia Henry, and Dale Spalding. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. This episode was edited by J.D. Packer. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Running by DJ Quads. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media or visit our website, BYUIdahoRadio.org, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to The Spot on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts.